This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. As the SARS epidemic demonstrated, even when a disease is mysterious and unknown, health workers will take heroic steps to help save a patient's life. Doctors and nurses sometimes get sick, even die. But SARS also revealed the limits of medical altruism. In Toronto, for example, some health workers threatened to stay away from work when they felt that hospital administrators weren't doing enough to protect them. We conclude our series on the lessons learned from SARS with this report from NPR's Joanne Silberner, who recently traveled to Toronto.
March 23rd sticks in the memory of physician Don Lowe of Mount Sinai Hospital. He'd gone to a special ward at a rehab hospital in Toronto that had been quickly renovated to handle patients with a new disease.
I remember that night so vividly. Patients arriving, all healthcare workers arriving to the hospital. We're setting up these isolation units. Some patients coming by taxi, some patients coming by ambulance, some patients driving themselves. It was quite a bizarre situation.
They were all healthcare workers who had been exposed to SARS. A total of 43 got sick over the course of the SARS epidemic in Canada. Lowe is the chief microbiologist at Mount Sinai. He deals with infectious diseases every day. He took the usual precautions, not knowing how easily SARS could spread.
I wore a mask all the time, but I took notes when I was in the room. When I left the room, I'd take the gown off, sometimes, throw it in the dirty bin or sometimes hang it up so I could use it again the next time.
Working at the hospital along with him was 58-year-old nurse Tekla Lin. Around that time, she picked up the virus from one of the infected patients. She fell ill and was on a respirator for months. She died in July. Fellow nurse Brenda Hallahan remembered Lin as she drove to her funeral.
It's almost like a member of your extended family has died. It's hard to put it into words.
Lin had been a nurse in her native Hong Kong and then Canada for 35 years. Hallahan said the death shattered the healthcare community.
Tekla, she was one of the first people to volunteer. She was a very qualified nurse. She had a certificate of critical care. And this is the second funeral for a healthcare worker that I've attended in the last few weeks. And I feel desperately sorry for the family of this woman. It's awful.
Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers like Tekla Lin face a dilemma whenever there's an outbreak of a new disease. They accept a certain level of risk just by working with sick people. At the University of Toronto, Abdul Adar says there are limits.
If you take the instance of a fireman going into a building which is on fire, he would not go into a blazing room where there's 100% likelihood of him dying.
Adar is a surgeon, an ethicist.
He would use his judgment and he would take risks, but not to the extent of certain death.
Healthcare workers have to stay healthy to take care of their patients. But the fear for health planners is that if nurses and other workers think it's too dangerous, will they show up?
Do they have the right to put their own families at risk? Because if you caught SARS from a patient and you went home in the evening, you'd infect your kids and your husband and your elderly mother and grandparent and so on.
Something like that happened with Tekla Lin. Her 73-year-old husband got sick too. And while she lingered for several months, he died in April. With Lin's illness and the illness of others, officials realized that masks had to be more tightly fitted. Everyone had to wear disposable gowns and gloves. Still, the epidemic continued to claim healthcare workers caring for SARS patients. Stronger measures were needed. Exposed workers were quarantined. That happened to Dr. Allison McGeer, who works with Lowe at Mount Sinai Hospital. She was allowed to go to work and go home so long as she didn't come within 4 feet of anyone and always wore a mask. At home, she couldn't hug or play with her children for weeks. But she said she was too busy to worry about the quarantine.
There were directed things that needed to be done, and they all needed to be done yesterday, and so you just put your head down and did them. That made things a lot easier.
But even after the quarantine was over, after she began catching up on her sleep, she had constant reminders.
Hold on half a second.
During an interview, a technician comes in to test her blood. Researchers want to know if there's something genetic, something in the blood, that can explain why people like McGeer, who was exposed to the virus, stayed healthy. And people like Tekla Lynn got sick and died. Wincing a little as the needle goes in, McGeer says the level of cooperation from healthcare workers and the public was phenomenal.
There was no griping and there was no complaining. We sat in our hospitals with a disease that we didn't know about, we couldn't be sure about, and people stepped up to the plate and did what they had to do. It was amazing.
A nursing coordinator at McGeer's hospital said she had no trouble recruiting nurses to work with SARS patients, even when the disease returned in June. But there were indications of bad feelings. The Ontario Nurses Association threatened to strike. And Brenda Hallahan, on her way to Tekla Lynn's funeral, said many Toronto nurses are still bitter. They feel that the hospitals and the government weren't cautious enough in the beginning. They didn't provide workers like Lynn with the proper protective equipment.
You know, can we say it's because your mask didn't fit? She was a very educated, very bright, very conscientious nurse. Would she put herself at risk knowing that she could die? Obviously she did. But she would have expected that the equipment that she had on would protect her.
No media were allowed in the funeral home. On the drive back into town, Hallahan said there was a Buddhist service with incense and a shrine with food to send Tekla Lynn on her way.
Well, I found it just brings home the fact that we've lost another nurse and we don't know yet if that's the last that we're going to lose.
Hallahan says the provincial government ignored nurses' initial warnings about a second outbreak in June.
It makes me really angry because people were exposed and they didn't need to be, and it was just, I think they were very cavalier in not being proactive instead of reactive.
Physician Don Lowe says things will be different next time. Lowe is on several government and hospital committees working on plans for the next new infectious disease.
We have to have learned from this. Nobody will tolerate any excuse about this being a new problem that we have no experience dealing with, because we've had lots of experience, so we better be able to apply it better the next time.
The committees are working on ways to make sure the next outbreak is detected quickly and that healthcare workers are adequately protected, that hospitals are sufficiently equipped. Nurse Brenda Hallahan is wondering how the nursing community will respond.
There's only a few of the nurses that were ill with SARS have gone back to work. We don't know what the long-lasting effects are, and we've had a number of nurses who say, that's it, I'm not going to put my life at risk and go to work.
Would you take care of a SARS patient now?
Yes, but I would be afraid.
You'd do it anyway?
Yes, I think I would. If it was my husband or my child, I would want to know that there was somebody there skilled enough to take care of them and that we could try and get them better.
What SARS or a SARS-like disease might mean to healthcare workers in the U.S. is anyone's guess. Lowe says given the way things worked after September 11th and during the anthrax outbreak, the healthcare community could handle it. But even then, it could be a strain. The U.S. is already short more than 100,000 nurses, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. And that number is expected to grow. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.